Today is the 13th day of May. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome around the global campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we hit the center of the week and move on through. Grateful for each and every opportunity to sneak away here into this oasis around the global campfire and take the next step forward. And that leads us into 1 Samuel, where we are learning of the first king of Israel and how it is that the children of Israel move from like the prophetic leader or to a judge into actually having a king and a government established as a monarchy. Today, 1 Samuel chapter 14. A day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man that bore his armor, "Come, and let us cross over to the Philistine garrison, which is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Now Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah, under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, was wearing the ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sinai. The crag of the one rose north opposite Michmash, and the other faced southward opposite Geba. Jonathan said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not limited to save by many or by few." His armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and I will be with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Now we will cross over to these men, and we will reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So the two of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the caves where they have hidden themselves." The men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us and we'll teach you something." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed upon his hands and upon his feet, with his armor bearer behind him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer was dealing death blows after him. That first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within about a half acre field. There was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the ground quaked. It was the fear of God. The watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went even here and there. Then Saul said to the people that were with him, "Number now, and see who has gone from among us." And when they had numbered, Jonathan nor his armor-bearer were there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring here the ark of God." For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. It came to pass, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines went on and increased. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. And every man's sword was against his fellow, so that there was a very great confusion. Even the Hebrews who were with the Philistines the days before who went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the children of Israel that were with Saul and Jonathan. Also all of Israel's fighting men who had hidden themselves in mountains of Ephraim heard that the Philistines fled, and even they followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed beyond Beth-Aven. Now Israel's fighting men were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under a curse, saying, "Cursed is the man that eats any food before it is evening, and I have avenged on my enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. All the people of the land came to the forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the people came into the forest, there was flowing honey, but no man put his hand to his mouth, because the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard when his father made the people swear. Therefore he put forward the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in the honeycomb. He then put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were brightened. Then one of the people answered and said, "Your father surely made the people swear, saying, 'Cursed is the man that eats any food this day.'" And the people were weary. Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if the people had surely eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? But now the defeat of the Philistines has not been great." And they struck the Philistines that day from Michmash to Aijalon, and the people were very weary. The people rushed upon the spoil. They took sheep, oxen, and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Then they reported to Saul, saying, "Look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating the blood." And he said, "You have dealt faithlessly. Roll a great stone to me this day." Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, 'Bring to me here every man his ox or sheep, and slaughter them here and eat. But you shall not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood.'" And all the people brought every man his ox with them that night and slew them there. And Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatever seems good to you." Then the priest said, "Let us draw near here to God." Saul asked of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him that day. Saul said, "Come here, all you leaders of the people, and observe and see how this sin has come about this day. For as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, even if it is in Jonathan my son, he will surely die." But there was not one who answered him from among all the people. Then he said to all Israel, "You will be on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side." And the people said to Saul, "Do what seems good to you." Therefore Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I indeed tasted a little honey with the end of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am. I must die." Saul said, "May God do so to me and more also, for you will surely die, Jonathan." The people said to Saul, "Will Jonathan die, who has worked this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord lives, there will not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the Ammonites, against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines. Whatever place he turned himself, he defeated them. He gathered an army and struck the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hand of its plunderers. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua. And the names of his two daughters were Merab, the firstborn, and Michal, the youngest. And the name of the wife of Saul was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the captain of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, the uncle of Saul. Kish was the father of Saul. And Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. There was strong war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him into his service. John 7, 31 through 53. Still, many of the people believed in him and said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the people murmuring these things concerning him, so the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to arrest him. Then Jesus said to them, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will look for me, and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said among themselves, "Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What kind of saying is this which he said, 'You will look for me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." By this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, when they heard these words, many of the people said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has the scripture not said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No man has ever spoken like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? Not at all. This crowd who does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, being one of them who came to Jesus by night, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." Then everyone went to his own house. Psalm 109. For the music director, a psalm of David. Do not remain silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They encircled me with words of hatred. and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they are my adversaries. But I gave myself to prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man against him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer be reckoned as sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be wandering beggars. Let them seek their bread far from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let the strangers plunder the fruit of his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to pity his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let his name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that the Lord may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and brokenhearted to their death. As he loved cursing, so let it come over him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like a garment, so let it soak into him like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment that covers him, and a belt that he continually wears. Let this be the reward of my adversaries from the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my soul. But you, O God, my Lord, work on my behalf for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow in the evening. I am tossed as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my body is thin with no fat. I am a reproach to my accusers. When they look upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is by your hand, that you, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice. Let my adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace like a cloak. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Indeed, I will praise him among the multitude, for he stands at the right hand of the poor, to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. Proverbs 15, 5 through 7. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who regards reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish does not do so. So, the lessons that that King Saul teaches us. So we're in 1 Samuel today. Saul's son Jonathan has snuck away and confronted a Philistine outpost. He didn't let anybody know. And so he didn't let his father know anyway, for sure. And he successfully caused panic throughout the entire Philistine encampment. And the Philistines began attacking each other. And as Saul's kind of watching all this unfold, he's looking for who's missing. He's trying to figure out what's happening. And then he made his men, like, chase the enemy, of course, go find out what's going on. Let's rush into the battle and defeat our enemies. But nobody eat anything. Nobody can eat a thing until I have avenged myself upon my enemies. So, like, go into hand-to-hand combat. Burn your calories, like, in 5 minutes. Nobody eat anything, but let's chase the enemy down. So without nourishment, the men exhausted themselves. Jonathan, though, he started all this. This was all going before Saul ever made him make that vow. He didn't take the vow. He learned about it later, but not before he ate some honey from a honeycomb. And then he finds out, like, we had to vow not to eat. My father made trouble for all of us, Jonathan told them. Like, a command like that only hurts everybody. I ate a little bit. Look at, I'm refreshed. So, meanwhile, the men of Israel circle back to the battlefield. And, they consume the livestock. Like, they kill and eat the spoils, some of the livestock with the blood in it, in anger and hunger and exhaustion and... Saul wanted to chase the Philistines into the night, just kind of press it forward. A priest is there, you know, suggesting maybe they ask God. As it turns out, though, God didn't say, there was nothing, God didn't have anything to say. So Saul then determines something's wrong. I want all the commanders here. We have to find out who sinned. Why will God not answer us? I need to know who sinned. I vow by the name of the Lord who rescued Israel that the sinner will surely die, even if it is my own son, Jonathan. That, my friends, is a high stakes role, right? I mean, bold, sure, brash, looks strong, looks stupid at the same time, like, look under the surface and what do we got going on here? And in the end, like, the lots are drawn and Jonathan, it's narrowed down to Jonathan. He's the sinner. So his dad's like, in front of everybody, tell me what you've done. And Jonathan's like, I ate a little bit of honey. Like, I didn't know. I ate a little bit of honey. And so I have to die? And his dad is in this moment like he had thrown down the gauntlet. Now he's in front of everybody with his bold, brash moves. Now it's the life of the prince, his son in his hands. Do I really deserve to die for that? Jonathan asks. And it's the moment of truth. And Saul says, yes, you must die. May God strike me and even kill me if you do not die for this. Holy cow. So Saul's reaction, gives harsh, like, makes the word harsh seem mild. This is his own son, heir to the throne. Once again, though, here's Saul's fear and insecurity navigating him into a drastic situation. And the people are watching this. And they will not have anything to do with it. And so Saul is actually outranked by the people, which humbles him. The thing he's trying to avoid. Jonathan won a great victory for Israel, the people said. Should he die? Are we serious? Far from it. As surely as the Lord lives, not one hair on his head will be touched. God helped him do a great deed today. So Saul wants to look the part of a strong, decisive, bold leader. He keeps stepping into situations where he's exposed. He's not using wisdom. He's being driven by performance and perception. He's plagued by deep issues of insecurity, and this clouds his judgment and brings about what he fears: humiliation before his people. His insecurity nearly cost, like the heir to the throne, Jonathan, his life. So, it's a mirror, though. If it's a mirror, has this been any part of our story at any time? Have we put ourselves in situations where the only way is the wrong way? Where we cannot believe what we have gotten ourselves into, and there is the only way is the wrong way. And maybe we've had to face drastic consequences or profound humiliation because of just arrogance, pride, bravado, insecurity underneath and driving all of it. Invite God to speak about insecurity and the fear of others, perception of us, so that we will shapeshift ourselves into whatever we think people want to be seen, instead of ever finding who we really are. We'll keep watching Saul as he wrestles with these personal demons and see where it goes, and allow the mirror to look into our own lives, fear of others, and deep-rooted insecurity. If we ever want clarity and wholeness, well, those will have to be put into a proper alignment and perspective, because we're looking for an identity and fearing that we don't measure up. And nobody gets to make that call but God. And you get to make that call too. So what call are we going to make? Or where are we going to be? Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Make us people of character. Make us people that have standards. Make us people that know right from wrong. Make us people that know clean from unclean. Make us people that do the work of repair and not leave bitterness laying and resentment laying all around. Help us be people awake and not driven by the fear of what other people think. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. And if you are here around the global campfire, well, you should have a connection to home base. So get the brand new app from the App Store that works with your device, or visit dailyaudiobible.com. And it's all there as well, including the web app. It works very similar to the mobile app. And thank you for just kind of persevering, being persistent. If you've had any kind of trouble as we're migrating literally hundreds of millions of records into a brand new system and getting everybody like working really close to around the clock to help as many people as we can, just get familiar. It's not as complicated as you think. Like if you just slow down and realize, hey, I don't have to get anxious here. Some new buttons. I just need 5 minutes to look around and I'll have my way. That'll go a long way. So, all kinds of stability has been brought to it, and another update soon. So excited about that. All things new. All things new anticipates challenge and growth. So I was talking yesterday, all things new. Speaking of that, the Daily Yeti Bible Shop is all new. With all kinds of new, all new things in it. And I was talking about our relationship with coffee and tea, which is very much part of the DNA of the Daily Yeti Bible. And so our Wind Farm brand of coffee and tea, man, I think it goes back 17 years, I think. Maybe, yeah. Long time. It's like a long time. It's been a part of our lives, and it's been a part of my life. Most of these days that I'm here reading, I have Wind Farm coffee or tea in my clean canteen to my left or to my right, usually to my left. So we've had coffee for a long time, and we've had a coffee subscription. We send fresh roasted, like we roast it and then send it. So it arrives very fresh, as fresh as you can get, unless you're like literally going to a local coffee roaster in your city and getting it roasted fresh that day, but significantly fresher by like 6 weeks from what you would buy, you know, in the grocery store. So we've been doing this a long time. When we moved over to the brand new shop, we brought over a brand new coffee subscription, a new coffee club. And we introduced our 2-pound bags. We've had 5 pounds and 12 ounces for a long time. The intermediary, a 2-pound bag right in the middle of that, we've introduced with the new shop. But also a new subscription, a new way to subscribe. Now you can subscribe to any kinds that you want to be sent. And those will be sent each month. Or you can be a part of the coffee club where that rotates. And you get a new, different one each month as we rotate through. So all that's good to know. But here's really what's exciting to know. So the first 250... And I mentioned this yesterday, so it's a lot less now. But we had 250, the first 250 people that came to the Daily Audio Bible Shop and went to the coffee and tea and subscribed to whatever coffee or tea, whatever configuration that you wanted, and subscribed for a year, paid for a year. Then we will send you a Daily Audio Bible 20th Anniversary Edition Clean Canteen. And clean canteens are a very big part of what we do each year. We haven't had time. We're rolling out everything. So this may be the only time we have clean canteens this year. But this is the 20th anniversary edition. It's the marigold color. It's different than what we had last year during our 20th year. The 20 is a little bit different. So this is an exclusive. There's only 250 of these. And there only ever will be. And this particular version of it is specifically for this, for subscribing to coffee. And so we'll send you a clean canteen for your 1 year subscription. And that is a $40, $40. They're not cheap. They are so well made. I mean, I love them. I love them because I like to sip my coffee like throughout the day. And it stays warm all day. Like, I love it. So, while they last, go to dailyaudiobible.com or in the Daily Audio Bible app, go to the shop, and you'll find coffee and tea, and you'll be able to find your way from there. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Okay, in Ohio, my heart breaks with you as you're navigating this journey of loss of your mother's sickness and of her sudden passing. Lord, I pray that you would surround her and lift her up. I pray that you would be near to her and dear to her. God, I pray that you would just flood her with the good memories and the ability to celebrate, to bring balance to the depth of the grief. And I know that when my sister passed, so many people told me that, you know, the depth of our grief just has to do with how much we were loved and how much we loved. And I did find a bit of comfort and beauty in that. So I share that with you as well. You have been so faithful in praying for so many of us in this community. And I know how much your prayers have touched me. And I just want you to know that we're with you, surrounding you, lifting you and your family up during this time. We pray for your continued health as you navigate this. Pray for strength, pray for wisdom, and pray for grace. Lord, be near her and her family during this time. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you, Jesus. This is Nicole in Alberta, Canada, reaching for the hymn.
Hello, DAB family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I'm calling in to pray for Lucy from Alabama with problems with platelets, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and trigeminal neuralgia from shingles. Oh, Lucy, I'm just lifting you up right now that the Lord would halt the progression of the CLL, that he would stop the pain and heal your nerves from the trigeminal neuralgia, and he would make a way for you to pay your bills and afford the medications that you need. There's so many things going on, Lucy. We just lift you up before God. Pray for his healing, his provision, in Jesus' name. And also calling in from Megan from Canada. Your mom was in a pretty serious bike accident. Now it sounds like she has head trauma and is sedated. You quoted Joshua 1:9. And Megan, I just pray that verse over you, over your family, for the courage to know that God has not abandoned you, and over your mom, that she would recover from this, that she would wake up and be her full self again. Oh, Lord Jesus, we lift up both of these requests to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Thank you, DAB family. I love each of you. And I will call in again soon. And we'll continue praying for both of you, Lucy and Megan, in the days ahead.
Good morning, DAB. Reaching out to Kay from Ohio. I just heard today on the May 7th podcast about your mom passing, and I just wanted to share that my thoughts and prayers are with you. Having lost my mom 10 years ago, listening to your voice, it brought back the heaviness of and the newness of it. And I just wanted to let you know, sister, that God is with you in all of this. There'll be tough days ahead, I'm not going to lie, but knowing and feeling his presence is what got me through, and I know it'll be what gets you through and your family through this very difficult time. And I just wanted to pray for you now. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up Kay and her family with this loss of their mom and their wife, and I just pray for your presence, and I pray for your peace and your comfort, Lord, that you show. You are definitely close to the brokenhearted, Lord, and I can speak to this knowing that is so true. And so, Lord, I just ask that you surround them with your peace and your comfort during this very heavy time. And just be with them, Father God. Let them feel.
Hello, DAB family. This is Kendall from Los Angeles, California. I've been going through a lot. You know, I was diagnosed with autism at a very young age, about 12 years old or so. And, you know, I used to struggle with anger issues, and I feel ashamed a lot to share that with people. And there are times where I feel like I don't belong and I've been misunderstood all my life, and it seems to be never ending. I know that Jesus died for me, and I love him with all my heart, because it's by his grace and love that I'm saved, and that I'm free, and that I am forgiven for my sins and trespasses. I just would say, if you could continue to pray for me, that I would always be reminded of that and never to lose that, because my faith is the only thing that keeps me going, that keeps me going the extra mile and everything. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that, and thank you for letting me share.
This is Hands to Heaven. Daniel Johnson Jr., I know this is your first Mother's Day with your mother in heaven. I pray you find some comfort in knowing that we are all praying for you. Heavenly Father, I lift Daniel Johnson Jr. to you, Lord, and I ask for your comfort and your peace to surround him, Father, this Mother's Day. Father, I thank you for all the years that he had his mother. I thank you, Lord, that she is hale and whole in your presence now and reunited with her own mother. I pray, Father, for Daniel to find a way to celebrate all that he had, even as he mourns all that he's lost. Father, thank you for making us able to find joy even in our mourning. In Jesus' name, this is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.
This is God's Little Gardener in Texas, and I want to pray for two of the requests I've heard recently. First, for Kay. Sister, I hear you. It's hard to lose our mamas. It really is. But God's got you and your family. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you be with Kay, her daddy, her siblings, the grandchildren, the nieces and nephews, everyone touched by this lady's life. Father, we ask that you would be with them in this time, that they would feel your presence as they mourn. And Lord, that in your time and in your season, their mourning would become dancing. We thank you for your promise that you are ever faithful for, that you tell us in Revelation that you will wipe every tear from our eyes. We pray this for this family, that they would rejoice and be comforted by wonderful memories and little things along the days that will remind them of this woman's love for them. And Father, we also pray for the young lady who is a new mom again, Lord, and struggling with postpartum. Lord, as she's preparing to go back for her work as a nurse, Lord, would you please heal her body? Give her energy to work and to care for her children. Give her husband wisdom to support her and show her love and kindness as she's trying to heal physically. And Lord, would you just... We ask for full healing, and Lord, we also ask if there's someone that's a colleague at the hospital that can speak some wisdom into her and help her get help, Lord, that she would be able to do that. Father, just show her your love. We thank you for this healthy little baby and the little older sister or brother toddler, and Father, would you just take care of them and surround them in your love. In Christ's name, amen.